Welcome to Open Your Eyes, a podcast about empowering each of us with the perspective and tools to grow and change. Now, I don't know about you, but the best time of the morning or evening for me is when I can put on my running shoes, grab my earbuds, turn on a podcast, and walk or run to something that will leave me inspired and better off for having heard it. That's why I like uplifting podcasts. And this podcast is born from a deep desire to help us all live a happier life and the firm belief that a powerful way to make that happen is to open our eyes to new ways of seeing life. So hopefully today, in this time together, we'll get a new perspective of how we can think and live better. And as always, take a few minutes today to share this podcast with a friend. It just might be what they need in their life today. Let's get started. Today, I'd like to talk about the power of knowing where you will end up. If you ever had the chance to visit the Gold Coast of Australia like me, you'd say to yourself, I never knew there was this kind of beautiful place in all the world. There are patches of near pristine rainforests, mangrove-covered islands, and eucalyptus forests. The coastline has some of the most famous surfing, diving, and wonders of the world. The climate seems perfect year-round. Many famous movies have been filmed there, including San Andreas, Pirates of the Caribbean, Thor Ragnarok, and Aquaman. Well, it was in this paradise that Jessica was born in 1993. As a child, she and her sisters took sailing lessons, which seemed normal for the place in which they lived. For a few years, her family even lived on a boat. Her mother read the book Lionheart, A Journey of the Human Spirit, to Jessica when she was 11. And this seemed to spark within her a desire to do something remarkable. So, at age 14, she started sailing. And the more she sailed, the more a vision started to form in her head. She wanted to sail around the world. Now, to qualify as an official trip around the world, you needed to start and leave from the same place. You must cross the equator and cross all meridians of longitude and travel at least 21,600 miles. As Jessica's vision took place, she realized that the journey would likely take 8 months, relying on the wind in the sails of her boat to carry her around the world. To qualify, she couldn't stop at any port or allow any person or boat to give her anything. She had to carry all her food and make her water along the way. Her boat was a 33-foot sail vessel named Ella's Pink Lady. So she needed to test her boat and her skills, and to do so, she decided to sail from Brisbane, Australia to Sydney. About 2 a.m. on the first night, she checked her radar. She saw another vessel a ways off and was confident that it posed no risk. So she set her radar guard rings, a type of alarm system that would notify her if a ship crossed the radar's ring, which was miles in diameter. Jessica then lay down for a short nap. But there was a problem. A large cargo vessel, more than a football field long, was already inside her ring. Her radar system had not been configured correctly, and the giant carrier, the size of a cruise ship, was headed towards her in the darkness. When the carrier slammed into her tiny boat, she woke immediately, but the damage was already done. The Chinese carrier failed to spot her and also failed to stop. Her mast was broken in half, and there was other serious damage to her boat. Lucky to be alive, she found her way under engine power to safety. What was thought to be a simple test turned out to be a forecast of what could happen when she got out into open water thousands of miles away from home. Well, when I read Jessica's story, I couldn't help but think that we too rely a bit on navigation systems in our life, that we, like Jessica, could have a vision of what we want to do and where we want to go. And that would allow us to set a navigation and launch on our journey. Whether we're going back to school or starting a business of our own or trying to do anything of importance in our lives, we must decide where we're going and have a navigation plot to get there. Well, Jessica's team retrofitted her sailboat with enhanced ship detection technology, and she incorporated fatigue management strategies and underwent better training of how to use her equipment to prevent these failures in the future. So on October 18th, 2009, she set sail from Australia. In a month, she had traveled north of the equator. By January, she crossed Cape Horn, all the while traveling as a 16-year-old by herself in storms and dreaded calm days with no wind. Later in January, as she passed the Falkland Islands, a severe storm caused her boat to tip over 4 different times. These knockdowns caused damage to her boat and triggered her emergency beacon when her mast hit the water. Along the way, she had to repair broken equipment, including a battery monitor, stove, toilet, mainsail, blades on her wind generator, which charged her equipment, and the fuel pump of her engine. All of the repairs she had to make herself without anyone's help, which she did. When she sailed into Sydney Harbor, after completing her around-the-world trip, hundreds of boats joined in and sailed with her. Over 10,000 people gathered near the Sydney Opera House to cheer her arrival, and she was given a hero's welcome as the youngest person ever to sail solo around the world. Now, not all people celebrated her success. Many in the seafaring world said it was irresponsible to allow a child at this young age with so little experience to make the attempt. But Jessica had a vision of what she wanted to do and where she wanted to travel, and her boat now sits on display at the Queensland Maritime Museum. What we learned from Jessica is this: success in life, whether personal or professional, rarely occurs by accident. Behind every achievement lies a clear, compelling vision, an internal map that guides choices, fuels perseverance, and transforms challenges into stepping stones. A vision is more than a vague dream or passing wish. It's a detailed mental picture of where one wants to be. The clearer that picture, the more effectively a person can navigate the obstacles between where they are now and where they want to go. Now, I've seen hundreds of people start a business for the first time. Many start with a mindset that they'll test the waters and see how it goes. They don't really have a vision of where they want to end up. And this clarity of their final destination matters a lot. Rarely do I see those people who start a business without a clear vision of where they want to go end up being successful. In your business, just as a compass points north, a vision points towards your destination. And without it, you risk wandering, wasting time and energy on pursuits that don't align with your end goal. With a clear vision, however, decisions become simpler. Every opportunity, action, or idea can be measured against your vision if you have one. Now, consider the example of an aspiring entrepreneur who dreams of launching, let's say, a sustainable fashion brand. With his vision in mind, they can focus on acquiring specific skills, seeking relevant partnerships, and aligning their efforts with long-term goals. But without that clarity, they might jump from project to project, spreading themselves too thin in a variety of different ways. Direction gives focus, and it helps people say no to good things so they can say yes to great things. Clarity about where you want to go prevents drift. In August of 2010, 156 of the world's elite golfers assembled on the shores of Lake Michigan to battle the rugged, windswept terrain of the Whistling Straits at the 2010 PGA Championships. Nestled in Kohler, Wisconsin, the Straits, as they're called, offer a fierce set of obstacles that intimidate the average golfer. But the huge sandy areas, deep pot bunkers, and undulating greens didn't seem to faze the field of professionals that arrived to compete in PGA's perennial event. In true competitive form, the pros from 23 different countries went about their practice rounds and tournament preparation in a very businesslike fashion, each one competing for the millions of dollars in prize money, with $1.4 million going to the winner. Well, something unexpected happened, however, as the players began their first round on Thursday. Dense fog settled on the rolling fairways of the Straits. Players couldn't see the flag even on the short par 3 holes. They were hitting into a blind mass of gray. That day, 78 golfers were unable to finish their round. Fog can wreak havoc on a major golf tournament. Players who luckily sneak in their round before the fog arrives or after it clears can end up several strokes ahead of those stuck in the gray. The second day was no better. The fog took its toll again, delaying start times and leaving others stranded. The result? Almost all of the big names in golf never recovered from the weather, including Mickelson, Woods, and Singh. The German Martin Kamer, who at the time was a lesser-known player, walked away with the championship. How could the best players in the world be handicapped so severely by the foggy conditions? Well, you see, golf is a game dominated by those who have two important skills. One, exceptional muscle memory honed by thousands of repetitive swings, and two, outstanding vision. Why vision? Well, unlike the pros, when the average golfer steps up to the tee, he sees the sand trap to the left and the water hazard ahead and the trees to the right, and he thinks about those hazards and says to himself something like, don't hit it in the trees. And this prevailing vision affects his swing, maybe creating a slight uncertainty that tilts the club face or slows the rotation of the swing. When the pros step up to the tee, they focus exclusively on the exact landing place for their ball. They visualize the proper distance and direction. They don't see the hazards or where they don't want to end up. Their vision is essential to them. But in foggy conditions, even the pros can't see the landing place. Their sight is inseparably connected to their swing. They may have caddies who can perfectly describe the slope or distance, and they may have golfed the course before, and despite all of these advantages, they still can't prevail without clear vision. Your life and business is very much the same. We may be the best at what we do, but when we don't have a clear vision of where we want to land, we can't act with certainty or courage. Now, perhaps you're battling an unexpected illness or struggling in your marriage or relationships or facing financial difficulties. These are all foggy conditions. And when we give in to these foggy conditions and take our eyes off our landing place, our end vision, we tend to be blind to where we're going. But a clear vision of where we want to land can lift that fog of discouragement and empower us with the ability to rise above whatever has happened to us in our business or life. Jack Nicklaus, winner of 18 major PGA championships, said, I never hit a shot, not even in practice, without having a very sharp, in-focus picture of it in my head. First, I see the ball where I want it to finish, nice and white, sitting up high on the bright green grass. Then the scene quickly changes, and I see the ball going there, its path, trajectory, and shape, even its behavior on landing. And then there's sort of a fade-out. The next scene shows me making the kind of swing that will turn the previous images into reality. A clear vision does more than provide direction. It also inspires sustained motivation. Psychologists and performance experts know when individuals can see their success, they're more likely to act consistently, even when their progress is slow or difficult. Take, for instance, Olympic athletes. Most of them train for years, sacrificing comfort and leisure for the chance to compete on the world stage. And what keeps them going through these grueling practice sessions and personal sacrifices is a clear image of standing on the podium, national anthem playing, medal around their necks. That vision is a source of energy and inspiration that helps them to persist when others quit. Now, I can personally attest to the truth of this principle. I'm not a good or fast runner, but for a few years I ran marathons, and during those grueling early morning training runs, or at the moment of decision in a race, when you say, do I really want to finish? It was the vision of crossing the finish line that motivated me to do what I did. And many of you who have run a race know exactly what I'm talking about. So, isn't the first thing that a new business builder needs when joining your team, or teenagers in your family should do, is to get a clear vision of where they're headed? And isn't one of your jobs to help them create that vision and expand and refine it and get it clearly planted in their mindset? William, Camp Kwamba grew up in a small impoverished village in Malawi, where access to electricity and clean water was extremely limited. In 2001, when he was 14, a severe drought hit the region, leading to widespread famine, and his family could no longer afford to send him to school, so he was forced to drop out. Despite these hardships, William refused to let go of his education. He had a vision of where he wanted to land, and he felt it was his purpose to learn all he could and somehow believed that that could change his life and his family's life. So he began spending his days at a local library where he discovered a book called Using Energy, which described how windmills could be used to generate electricity. The idea fascinated him, and he started to create a vision. His vision? Build a windmill to power a water pump and irrigate crops. Despite ridicule from his neighbors and skepticism from adults, he scavenged scrap materials and built a functioning windmill by hand. William didn't have access to the resources or formal education typically necessary for such an undertaking, but his belief in the possibility of change kept him going. He scrounged up materials in scrapyards and pieced together parts from old bicycles and tractor fans and other discarded items. After months of trial and error, he succeeded in building a functioning windmill. His windmill generated enough electricity to power four light bulbs and charge mobile phones in his family's home. And over time, he built more windmills, bringing water pumps to irrigate fields and much needed relief to his community. Well, the newspaper published a story about William. It was the Daily Times in the capital of Malawi. The story circulated through the biosphere, and the TED conference director called and invited Camp Kwamba to talk at TED Global in 2007. His speech moved the audience, and several venture capitalists at the conference pledged to help finance his secondary education. He became a student at the African Christian Academy. He then went on to receive a scholarship to the African Leadership Academy and in 2014 graduated from Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. Here's the point. That vision that he created when he read a book changed his life, brought power to his village, and led to international recognition. Now, he could have easily accepted his circumstances, poverty, lack of education, and the overwhelming challenges he was living in. Instead, he chose to see possibility where others saw limitation. One thing a vision of where you want to end up does for you is it generates faith inside you. In Matthew, Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." When we expect something from a situation, that something usually comes to pass. When we expect the worst often happens. When we choose to press forward with faith, we usually see good things as a result. At the very moment that we decide to choose faith, we alter the trajectory of our life, really. Every step thereafter certainly leads us to a path that we wouldn't have discovered without our faith. Think about the tale of two men. Let's call them John and Jim. Both are facing serious challenges in their marriage, let's say. As they approach middle age and the children are moving off to school, their relationship with their spouse starts to beg for time and commitment. They need to reconnect with their spouse, and they haven't done so in a while. Also, both face difficulties in their careers. They've heard through the grapevine at work that their company is going to cut back and their jobs are likely to be at risk. Well, given this, John chooses fear and indecision, and this freezes his proactiveness at work. He starts looking for another job. He does the same at home and without faith determines there isn't much he can do to save his marriage. So you can predict what will happen to John. Others see his lack of performance at work, and he's likely the first to go when the company downsizes. His wife sees his lack of desire to improve their relationship, and she also gives up. Jim, on the other hand, decides to have faith. He goes to his manager at work and asks what he needs to do to help the company grow, and if possible, keep his job. His manager says, bring in five more accounts each month. John looks at the number of sales calls it takes him to land one new account, and in his experience, it takes about 20, and he decides he can do that. So he figures if he can make five extra sales calls a day during his lunch hour, he can land one new account each week. He brings a sandwich from home, works through lunch, and spends his own time finding new accounts. As a result, he soon becomes the only account manager whose revenue is up for the month. In management meetings, the comment is made, Jim's too valuable to let go. He wants to improve his marriage, but he doesn't know how to do it. So he reads uplifting books for 15 minutes a day. And in his reading, he discovers an idea to write one thing he appreciates about his spouse each day in a notebook. Then after 2 months, his plan is to give the notebook to his wife as a present for their anniversary. He soon learns that with each day's writing, his love for his wife and ability to share his feelings are growing. Little by little, their marriage relationship improves. It's amazing how small, faithful acts, done repeatedly, change the direction of business and life. And much of that faith comes from a clear vision of your desired outcome. When we face trials in life, it's most often the small decisions that lead us to miraculous outcomes. In James, it says, "Behold also the ships, which though they be great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm." We sometimes don't decide or act because things seem too big, our problems too large. But small actions with faith in the face of great storms guide our ship to safety. Years ago, my son called home from college. He was struggling with his economics class. He said, "I study and study, but I can't seem to get a good score on the test. I don't know if I'll ever be able to learn this stuff. I'm thinking about changing my major to something that makes more sense." He was inside the fog of discouragement and unable to rise above it. As a result, he wanted to quit and go around it. So I started asking him some simple questions. And I found these simple questions are empowering with anyone who's facing difficult situations. I asked him, "What small thing, even if it only took a few minutes, could you do today to improve your understanding of the materials in your economics class?" He said, "Well, I could go to the study lab and practice teaching the principles to someone else." I then asked, "What if you did this every day for the next 3 weeks? Would you likely do better on your next economics test?" He said, "Sure." I said, "Could you find the time to do that small activity each day?" He again said, "Yes." You see, when we're struggling with any problem, we can ask ourselves these same types of questions. What small thing, even if it only took a few minutes, could you do today to improve your situation? We don't have to tackle everything at once. By starting small, we can begin acting on our faith without being overwhelmed by the enormity of the problem. The same principle applies when you're trying to encourage others or help someone through change in their business. Most often, we don't need to do something big or offer some grand advice. It's the most simple of gestures done repeatedly, smile or a kind word written in a note that gives the most encouragement. A great litigator wrote, "My wife was a great support to me through law school. She believed in me when at times I lost my faith. She would say, 'You must stay with it. We must see it through together. It will be a great help in our lives to have you become a lawyer, for this will introduce you to many things you might otherwise not be introduced to.'" And this proved to be prophetic. As many times since being admitted to the bar, I have had things come my way because I was known as a lawyer, which I wouldn't have had otherwise. Her small words of encouragement kept him from losing his vision. Leaders help others keep their vision and faith. Another critical benefit of having a clear vision is enhanced decision-making. Life presents countless forks in the road, and without a guiding vision, it's easy to take a wrong turn. A well-formed vision acts as a decision filter, helping us assess whether each choice supports or detracts from our long-term goal. For example, someone with a clear vision of becoming a published author can use that vision to evaluate how they spend their time. Should they attend a weekend party or use that time to write? Should they accept a job that pays well but leaves little creative energy, or one that supports their craft? The clearer the vision, the easier it is to prioritize long-term goals over short-term gratification. In leadership setting, vision also enhances collective decision-making. When an organization has a shared vision, everyone from the CEO down to the newest employee can align their decisions with that vision. And this unity leads to more coherent strategies and improved performance. A company without vision, in contrast, is like a ship without a rudder. Diana Nyad had a clear vision. swim 110 miles from Cuba to Florida without a shark cage. She attempted the feat 5 times over 35 years, facing life-threatening jellyfish stings, strong currents, and complete physical breakdown. And many told her it was impossible, especially at her age. But she held on to her mental image of completing the swim and touching the Florida shore. In 2013, at the age of 64, she finally succeeded. What fueled her was not her physical ability alone, but her unwavering mental vision. Vision doesn't guarantee a smooth path, but it equips people to handle setbacks more constructively. Life rarely unfolds according to our plan. Roadblocks come about, timelines shift, and failures happen. What separates successful people from the rest is not a lack of problems, but their response to those problems, and vision plays a key role in shaping that response. When you know where you're going, setbacks are not the end of the story. Most of all, when you have a vision, you know when you arrive at your destination. This is critically important because you need all the fun and celebration you can find when you're doing difficult things. And having a vision of where you're going and when you arrive so you can celebrate is really important. As the saying goes, if you can see it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. Clarity is power, and vision is the first step towards turning dreams into reality. Walt Disney famously said, if you can dream it, you can do it. His vision for Disneyland was so vivid and ambitious that many laughed at him. Investors were skeptical and critics were dismissive. But Disney's detailed mental image of a family-friendly theme park powered every decision he made. He famously walked the land before construction and could see the rides, the layout in his mind. Today, Disney parks are global icons. So, as we end today, if you're building a business or trying to reach a goal or helping others do the same, and you've lost a little bit of momentum or slowed in your results, perhaps you could revisit your vision of where you're going first. Because when you do, you will find more faith, momentum, better decision-making, and persistence. Most of all, thanks for being here today. And don't forget to share this podcast with a friend and join us next week for another podcast as we learn to open our eyes to who and what we can become.